and now movies that chronicle the chroniclers, films about journalism. Those of us that labor in the Fourth Estate can't imagine any other place we'd rather be. Here's Jimmy Cagney as reporter Lou Marsh talking to his boss, Raymond Massey, in his office at his beloved newspaper.
Well, it's been quite a day, one that neither of us will forget in a hurry. I think we could both do with a little rest. Can I drop you off at your home?
Don't you see, Mr. Ives? I am home.
From 1951's Come Fill the Cup, home for reporters in the movies can be the newsroom, the press conference, a parking garage, or a battlefield. In the movies, the reporter may be a trench-coated foreign correspondent, an ink-stained wretch, or just a plain wretch. And, of course, sometimes it's that brunette stick of dynamite, Rosalind Russell. Murray Horowitz knows a thing or two about both journalism and the movies, and definitely about Rosalind Russell. He joins us now for a special museum edition of our mostly summer but sometimes fall movie festival series. Murray, nice to have you with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Neil, in a place that, among other things, has an exhibit in which you appear.
They were silly enough to put a picture of me up in there.
You're incarcerated in the museum.
And I should mention Roy Blunt Jr. is still with us, whose hands have been ink-stained from time to time.
That's right. Yeah, in fact, they are at the moment.
Well, would you have called yourself a sports journalist when you were Sports Illustrated?
Sure, yeah. I mean, you know, I've talked to people who work for magazines, and they talk about the media.
Right.
And I say, well, you're in the media. And they say, no, I'm in. I always thought I was in one of the media, yeah.
Murray, there's a lot of different kinds of newspaper, radio, and television news, movies. Some of them sort of inside baseball, about the business itself.
Right. There are a few categories. There's this wonderful quote. In fact, I used to have a T-shirt that said this. It's from Oscar Wilde, a quotation, not a quote, right, Roy?
Well.
And it said that the difference between journalism and literature is that journalism's unreadable and literature's unread. It's certainly not unwatchable. There is a huge number of movies about journalism or in which journalism figures. So we've broken them down into about a long number of categories.
Because there's a lot of movies.
You're right. Inside baseball, movies about journalism. There's movies in which journalism is the catalyst for the plot, which is a great catalyst because if it's a love story or if it's an investigative thing, a journalist is almost as good as a detective. And movies in which the journalist is out for justice, the crusading journalist. And a lot of times these bleed into other things, which is our fourth category, movies in which the journalist becomes him or herself caught in the political intrigue.
And so we have an email. This is from a guy who says one of the best films about journalism that he likes is Broadcast News, where journalists Albert Brooks, Holly Hunter, William Hurt talk about journalistic ethics.
Here's a good one. They allow us to have cameras at an execution in Florida. You broadcast tape of the guy in the chair when they turn on the voltage.
Sure.
Why not?
Absolutely.
You bet.
Nothing like wrestling with a moral dilemma, is there?
Great patter you get in journalism movies, too.
It really is. And I think it was made in 1987, and somehow that we were still in that era of, even though it's a good 15 years later, but almost 15 years, post-Watergate, where there was... This was Washington media that was being portrayed, and there was something somewhat glamorous about it and hip about it.
We have somebody here on the microphone at the museum.
My name's Joan Bohr, and I'm from Livermore, California.
Thanks for coming.
And my favorite is His Girl Friday with Cary Grant and Rosalind Russell and Ralph Bellamy as the kind of wimpy fiancé.
The poor schlub of the fiancé. Here's Rosalind Russell saying goodbye to the life of a newspaper woman and to her unscrupulous editor and ex-husband, or so she thinks.
Did you hear that? That's the story I just wrote. Yes, I know we had a bargain. I just said I'd write it. I didn't say I wouldn't tear it up. It's all in little pieces now, Walter, and I hope to do the same for you someday. And that, my friends, is my farewell to the newspaper game. I'm going to be a woman, not a news-getting machine. I'm going to have babies and take care of them and give them cod liver oil and watch their teeth grow. And oh, dear, if I ever see one of them look at a newspaper again, I'm going to brain them. Where's my hat?
Does anybody ever talk that fast?
Well, in the front page they do. And this is the, you know, there's a rock critic years ago named Ellen Wills, and she said the way you could tell if a rock lyric was sexist is if you could imagine a man or a woman singing it, right? And this is a script by Ben Hecht and Charles MacArthur, the front page, which works just as well, maybe better, with a female protagonist, Rosalind Russell, than it does with any number of male protagonists. It's been made many times.
With Pat O'Brien, when he was the original Hildy Johnson.
Yeah, exactly. On Broadway, though, it was a fellow named Lee Tracy, who was in a journalism movie of his own called Blessed Event. Maybe they were trying to cash in on his Hildy Johnson character. He talks faster than anybody.
He's a great fast talker. Yeah, yeah. It's a great loss when you can no longer wad up a story.
right. Hear that? That's my computer screen breaking.
There are also a bunch of films about people who write long-form journalism, not necessarily people on that daily deadline that provides so much opportunity for snappy patter. This is Capote. Philip Seymour Hoffman won an Oscar where he portrayed Truman Capote, and here he is in jail visiting with Perry Smith while he's working on what would become the book In Cold Blood. Well, he's still in the early stages.
I haven't written a word yet. What have you been doing? Research. Talking to you. Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful Oscar-winning performance. There's another film, I mean, as it happened, and I think it was just chance and maybe bad luck for a movie called Infamous, but in 2005, there was a movie about this subject, Truman Capote and In Cold Blood, called Capote, we just heard from it, starring Philip Seymour Hoffman. And then the next year, there was Infamous, starring Toby Jones. I haven't seen it, but some people prefer it.
Mm. Have you seen it, Brian?
Yeah, I have. I liked it. Toby Jones looks amazingly like Truman Capote. But Philip Seymour Hoffman was good too. I wonder whether it's true that Capote's guilt over that story really ruined his life. You know, I mean, both movies sort of make the point that because he felt like he'd betrayed Perry Smith, he never wrote anything much again.
Right.
But I think he just drank himself.
Well,
journalism.
Right, which brings us back to Fill the Cup, your favorite James Cagney movie.
It's a combination newspaper movie and an alcoholism movie and a gangster movie.
Well, that makes sense to me. I don't know.
Oh, it's great stuff. It's great stuff, but it's not my actual favorite.
What's your favorite?
My favorite is The Great Man.
Oh, a radio movie.
A radio news movie with Jose Ferrer, Ed and Keenan Wynn, both in the movie, Julie London. It's a great picture.
It was, and it's 1956, and it's a sort of anti-fascist movie, as I recall, right?
It's also a Romana Clef about Arthur Godfrey, he's supposed to be the great man. And Jose Ferrer, at the end of the movie, goes in and says, I can't read the script, and he throws it away, and he says, here's the truth about the great man. And then Keenan Wynn, as the agent, is standing in the network president's office. Dean Jaggart says, what are you doing? He says, I'm calling down to run the tape that we have ready just in case he did this silly thing. He says, wait a minute, that's sincerity. We can sell that, too. It's a great film if you ever get the chance to see it. Here's Rory in Charlotte, North Carolina. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas is his favorite. Simply Complex, a great film of life's great adventures in journalism. Might have been somewhat better organized.
Well, it's interesting. And by the way, we didn't mention documentaries, and there are a couple of those, including a couple of contemporary ones. We showed it at AFI at our Silver Docs Festival. Gonzo, The Life and Work of Hunter S. Thompson, and also Control Room, which is about Al Jazeera. But the Hunter S. Thompson story is an interesting and compelling one, and it reminds me, Neil, that some of the best filmmakers have turned their talents to this work. Occasionally we get a category like that, but that's a Terry Gilliam film. There's Frank Capra, Billy Wilder, Federico Fellini, Alfred Hitchcock, William Wellman.
Named Orson Welles.
Orson Welles had something to do with journalism. Yeah. An obscure little thing in 1941 that was nominated for an Oscar but didn't win.
And everybody says it's the greatest film ever, but you argue this is not really a film about journalism. It's just about William Randolph Hearst, one of the most important newspaper men of the century.
I think Citizen Kane, which happens to be, for you not with it, that the film we're talking about, it's about a great deal more than journalism. But again, it's one where journalism really is the catalyst, because Hearst was, whatever he wasn't, one of the things he wasn't was a newspaper man. He was a failure at many things.
Now, you were talking about the reporter as the crusader. Here's Jimmy Stewart as Chicago reporter P.J. McNeil, Lee J. Cobb as his editor here, doing his best to convince the reporter to follow up on one of his stories.
Maybe I'm interested for personal reasons. Maybe I'm interested because my mother did the same thing. She scrubbed floors on her hands and knees for more than 11 years, sent me through school.
Okay, I'll go out to the Pandemore and see him. Kelly. I happen to know that your mother had a small annuity. She never scrubbed a floor in her life. You never got past the fifth grade. But I figure if you pull such a corny gag as this, you must want me to go pretty bad, so I'm going. But I want you to know that you didn't get away with it.
There you go. Skepticism and corniness are a great pair. Yeah.
But did you ever actually talk to an editor that way?
I don't think I ever did. Did you ever have a dramatic scene with an editor or publisher? Or a comic scene?
Oh, yeah, I imagine I did, but I probably don't remember it.
We have two votes for Deadline USA, one from Larkin in Madison, Wisconsin, who says Bogart and Ethel Barrymore, a newspaper faces a buyout, among other things, a great movie. And this email that we have, Humphrey Bogart, Ed Begley, Jim Backus, Big Trouble in the City Room as the editor goes for broke in the 3 days before the newspaper is sold. Good, gritty film noir, and one of my favorites.
Yeah, and you can add three votes for that. This is one that I might think of as my favorite of all time. And unhappily, we couldn't get clips of it, but some of the dialogue is just too wonderful not to be believed in, to be included. One of them is, I'll never forget this line. I mean, it made a difference. It says, Bogart says, a profession is a performance for public good. That's why newspaper work is a profession. But maybe the best line is, he says, I don't like him. I'll think of a reason later. But here's one that he says that we excerpted, and see if this rings any contemporary bells. It's not enough anymore just to give them news. They want comics, contests, puzzles. They want to know how to bake a cake, win friends, and influence the future. Ergo, horoscopes, tips on the horses, interpretation of dreams so they can win on the numbers lottery. And if they accidentally stumble on the first page, news.
We're talking with Murray Horowitz about the great journalism movies of all time. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Roy Blunt Jr. is with us here as well. Murray Horowitz, of course, director and COO of the American Film Institute Silver Theater and Cultural Center here in the Washington, D.C. area. And you are listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And there is, we're talking about some of the great inside baseball movies earlier. And there is one that, I know, Roy Blunt Jr., you have an opinion of it. We're going to play the famous clip from Peter Finch in the movie Network from 1976.
So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore!
I'm mad as hell, I'm not going to take it anymore!
You know, my wife has still got her head out of the window. It's been 32 years, man.
But that's one of the least prophetic movies I've ever seen. Are we not taking it anymore? I don't know. And it's also just seems to me just sort of turgid melodrama and craziness. And also the cursing. Pauline Kael criticized the cheesy cursing in it. She thought that you'll never want to use the word blank, 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 blank again.
It's true. And does anybody remember that William Holden and Faye Dunaway and Robert Duvall were in this movie? I mean, all I remember is Peter Finch.
Yeah. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And let's go to Nat. Mm-hmm. And Nat is with us from East Lansing in Michigan.
Hi.
Hi, Nat. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to put in a vote for All the President's Men.
All the President's Men. Well, we do happen to have a clip from that picture. Carl Bernstein has been helping Bob Woodward with his prose on the very first story they've written together. Woodward, played by Robert Redford, is not happy about the assistance.
If you're going to do it right. Here are my notes. If you're going to hype it with the facts. I don't mind what you did. I mind the way you did it.
Woodward. Bernstein, you're both on the story. Now, don't f*** it up.
That, of course, the famous moment when Woodstein was born.
Right,
and,
exactly so. My favorite compound word, I think, from that movie. Woodstein?
And we also got a nomination from that film from Lisa in Arlington, Virginia. Ben Bradley may be the first real guy who dwarfs the guy who plays him. Jason Robards, of course, played a great role as Ben Bradley in that movie.
He did.
And not easily dwarfed.
Not easily dwarfed, no.
It's probably the last contemporary film set in a city room. I mean, it may not be true, but you know, there aren't city rooms anymore. Ooh. You know,
they're cubicles these days,
and just everybody clicking away on a little typewriters.
One reason we ran that clip long was to run the sound of the newsroom.
Right, it was great to hear.
Yeah, I can remember newspapers when there actually was ink around. You get ink on the wall, and the people had whiskey in their drawers and things.
Yeah.
And it was a lot more fun.
Their desk drawers, I'm sure, is what he meant to say. Nat, thanks very much for the phone call. Appreciate it. Let's see if we can go now to Charlie. Charlie with us from Wichita in Kansas.
This is a great topic, and I'll run off a bunch of titles of movies about newspaper chicanery. There would be Nothing Sacred with Frederick March, the remake of it with Martin and Lewis, with Living It Up with Janet Leigh and the Frederick March role as a hard-boiled tabloid writer, and then Billy Wilder's Ace in the Hole with Kirk Douglas.
Those are all great choices. Nothing Sacred is one of my favorite films of all time. It's, again, one of those where the journalism's kind of the catalyst for the chase and what happens.
Right.
And Ace in the Hole has some great lines.
And here's one of them. This is from one of Billy Wilder's first movies, about a cynical, down-on-his-luck reporter played by Kirk Douglas. Here he is finagling a job at the Albuquerque Sun Bulletin.
Mr. Boot, I'm a $250-a-week newspaper man. I can be had for 50.
Why are you so good to me?
I know newspapers backward, forward, and sideways. I can write them, edit them, print them, wrap them, and sell them.
Don't need anybody right now.
I can handle big news and little news. And if there's no news, I'll go out and bite a dog.
We just have a few seconds left. Murray, your favorite?
Oh, boy. This was really, really a hard one. There's one more category, by the way, which is La Dolce Vita, which somehow
invented
the word paparazzo. Yeah. But I think contemporary movies are really good. And I have to say, usually I go for the oldies, but Good Night and Good Luck, I think. And also, leave us not forget, Superman and Spider-Man, which have the classic editor-reporter or editor-photographer relationship.
Murray Horwitz, thanks as always for being with us. Murray Horwitz of the American Film Institute Silver Theater and Cultural Center. Our thanks to Roy Blunt Jr., whose new book is Alphabet Juice, a regular panelist on a quiz show I seem to have had some familiarity with called Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. They were both here with us at the museum. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.